This is Michel Chalcedovsky. We are introducing the Global Research News Hour from Montreal, Canada. And this is an initiative of our website, globalresearch.ca. Every Monday from 11 to 1 o'clock Central Time, let me introduce my co-host, Stephen Lenman.
Well, Michel, I'm delighted to be on with you. It's a great honor for me.
It's great to have you. Stephen is out of Chicago. He's a prolific author, analyst of international affairs, and we've got a fabulous program today. In the first hour, we'll be talking to Professor Roderick Tremblay. He's one of Canada's leading economists, but essentially he's also an analyst of the crisis in the United States, both from an economic point of view, but also from from the strategic military point of view. He addresses the financial crisis, focusing also on the issue of the war and how the war and the defense budget have ultimately created a situation. And he talks about stagflation. Rodrigue, are you there? Is Professor Tremblay on the line?
Hear me well?
Do you hear me, Rodrigue?
Yes, I hear you, yes.
Yes.
Very good.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Good,
I can hear too.
Good
Michel,
morning, Rodrigue.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you. We just before the commercial break, let's discuss some of the fundamentals.
Michel, before you do that, can I just say a word about you, because I don't think listeners know who you are, and I think it's very important that they do. I say hello to Rodrigue, too.
Yes.
But let me just say a word about my co-host that I'm so honored to be on this program with. If you were my guest, Michel, I would say something like, Michel Chalcedovsky is a noted academic, Canadian. He's an author. He's an activist. He's a prodigious researcher, about as good as anyone I know. And he concentrates on the most important world and national topics, cutting-edge issues that people need to know about, but they never get it in the mainstream, and they'll always get it on globalresearch.ca. If they go to that site, they'll read all of Michel's articles. They'll find out about his books. I can't think of a better place to stay informed on the most important cutting-edge things.
Well,
I had to get that in, Michel.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. In all modesty, we'll go and to our guest for this hour, Roderick Tremblay. I've known Roderick for at least more than 30 years. He was professor at the University of Montreal. Actually, joins us from Florida. Roderick, you mentioned in one of your most recent articles that stagflation is here, and you also raise the issue of the banking crisis. What is your reading on the situation? Are we in a situation where the Fed may have to bail out the banks? Is there a real danger of a more global meltdown? Is the subprime mortgage crisis the tip of the iceberg? And what are the solutions?
Well, these are very interesting questions. Of course, stagflation is a situation when economic growth is sluggish, but inflation remains on the rise, and that's pretty much what we have today. You know, inflation last year in the U.S. was above 4%, and growth was lower than that, and we expect a recession to take hold during the first half of 2008. Therefore, I'm hearing...
We have to go to commercial break. We'll be back after the break with Professor Roderick Tremblay discussing the ongoing financial crisis in the United States of America.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655, 888-213-7655.
We're back with Professor Rodrigue Tremblay on the economic crisis in the United States and around the world. Rodrigue, how does this financial situation affect other countries? Does it transmit to financial markets throughout the world?
Well, as I was about to say, there is a combination of factors that come into play now that will affect, of course, the United States, which represents about 25% of the world economy. That's a big chunk of the world economy. And these factors are coming into play now. If you look at the leading indicators, for example, they are pointing downwards. If you look at the consumer sentiment, the sentiment of consumers who have been on a binge for the last 5 or 6 years is going down. Employment also in the U.S. For the first time in January went down 17,000 jobs. And all that together, plus the fact that the U.S. dollar has been declining for a very long time, the savings rate also is very low in the United States. It nearly reached zero after having been in the 12% in the 1990s. And the federal government also has a huge deficits that translate into a twin deficit in the balance of payments. This is the overall picture of the U.S. economy that makes me forecast that we will have a shallow recession this year, but the sluggishness of the economy may last until 2010, another 2 more years, because of the housing crisis will be lingering on for many years to come, and the subprime financial crisis will be lasting longer than most people think.
Now, could you? I mean, you in your writings, you have tied in your understanding of the recession in the United States to the spiraling defense budget, and the fact that, of course, the country is at war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and how does this increase in defense spending over the last few years, how does it impact the underlying situation with regard to the economy and particularly the consumer economy, which affects, of course, the livelihood of ordinary Americans?
Of course, this is not the cause of the current financial crisis. The huge American U.S. defense spending has only increased the federal deficits and increased the federal debt. But this is not at the core of the crisis. We know that the U.S. now spends more than 50% of all military expenditures in the world. The 191 other countries spend less total on defense than the United States alone. The core of the crisis now is the U.S. financial system is suffering from a cancer of excessive deregulation. And this has started in the year 2000, and now we are trying to unwind the excesses that have been created because of that lack of regulation. Mind you, banks and other lending institutions went on banking practices which were very unsound. No economist will have accept that a bank will take long-term loans, transform them into short-term debts, and then sell these debts in tranche or in slices to investors. This is the problem now. We have so much debt which are unsound, and nobody knows what is the worth of these debts. We know that there has been about $400 billion of losses by various lenders. But there will be more losses coming in the months ahead, and this is the core of the problems.
But what you're saying essentially is that this crisis is going to backlash in Main Street America. Of course, we see it already with the subprime mortgage crisis and people losing their homes and having to sell at very low rates if they want to get out of their debts. But ultimately, it's eroding the standard of living of ordinary Americans.
Well, for this year and the year 2009 and probably part of 2010, between 1.5 million and 2 million homeowners will have to refinance their mortgages. And, of course, they took these mortgages at very low interest rates, variable interest rates with very little down payment, sometimes no down payment. And this is this process of refinancing the old mortgages, which is creating a lot of economic problems, a lot of difficulties for people, inducing them to lose their house because of foreclosure proceedings. And this is the core of the problem, the foreclosure, but the financial crisis that is piling losses on the bank's balance sheet, on the bank's books. And these two problems are coming together to slow down the economy.
Now, the other aspects of this crisis has to do with, of course, with the dollar, which is in the process of losing standing as an international reserve currency, and decline in relation to the euro, decline in relation to the Canadian dollar. How do you see that this evolving situation? Is the dollar threatened as an international currency in financial markets? How does it backlash again on the situation in the United States?
Well, the dollar for the United States is a double-edged sword. The fact that the United States has a key currency that is used all over the world for financing transactions, trade and investments and all that is a plus. It gives us what we call a seigniorage to the U.S. economy. On the other end, when you have so many dollars being owned by foreign central banks, like, for example, China has over $1.5 trillion of U.S. dollar, this makes it more difficult for the United States, especially for the Federal Reserve System, to pursue an independent monetary policy, because each time it lowers the interest rate, capital has a tendency to leave the United States, and this put pressures on the dollar even more, creating inflation within the United States, because you have to remember that the United States now, if you take its exports and imports, has about 30% of its economy which is traded worldly. This is very high. It used to be less than 20% in the past. So the United States has a more and more open economy with a currency which is losing value, partly because it has to this decline has to counteract the huge trade deficits that the U.S. has been building. And all this is new, of course. This is a new phenomenon. On August 15, 1971, if you remember, President Nixon broke the link between the U.S. dollar and gold. That was done during the summer of 1971 on August 15.
Yeah, I recall.
So this, the U.S. dollar has been a national currency with no backing by gold since 1971, and it is, of course, traded like any other financial assets on monetary markets, and it fluctuates, and presently there is an oversupply, and the demand is being reduced because many central banks, including those of countries that export oil, prefer to be paid in euros now.
That is, of course, another dimension of this global economic crisis is the fact that if the oil-producing countries, such as and some of them which are not particularly friendly to the United States and vice versa, such as Venezuela, Iran, decide to shift into euro for their oil-related transactions. And this could also happen in the Gulf states, and you mentioned China. Well, then they could be a much more significant shift out of dollar holdings into euro holdings, and we've seen that, in fact, emerging in the last year or so. But it's not pervasive to the extent that the dollar is ultimately threatened. How do you view that situation? Do you think people would be shifting out of?
They have already done so. And this creates what we can call a period of transition. And periods of transition are always unstable. On the international monetary scene, there's no clear key currency anymore, as it was clear for the last 40 years that with the U.S. dollar. Now, the U.S. dollar is losing its status, but the euro has not gained completely the new acceptance that it is required for a key currency, a worldwide key currency. So we are in a period of instability, of transition, which is unhealthy in a sense, because this will create the pressure on interest rates in the coming years and will probably push the dollar even further down.
So I think we're going to a commercial break. We're talking to Rodrigue Tremblay, who is the author of a new book, which is called The Code for Global Ethics. And we will return after the break with Professor...
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We're back on the air with Professor Rodrigue Tremblay, distinguished Canadian economist. You can visit his website at www.thenewamericanempire.com. This is the Global Research News Hour. I'm Michel Chossadovsky hosting, and we are talking to Professor Rodrigue Tremblay on the unfolding U.S. economic crisis. Is the term crisis a correct term, or should we talk about recession or depression?
No, crisis is the real term, and the point I want to emphasize is that there is no quick fix for this type of predicament. For example, there was a $150 billion rescue package voted by Congress and signed by the President a few weeks ago. This will, of course, help somewhat the income of people in distress, but it will also increase the federal debt and the federal deficit. And since the U.S. economy now is suffering from too much debt, that means the rest of the economy, the corporate sector, and the consumer sector will have to contract their expenditures, because the financial imbalances that the U.S. Is facing nowadays cannot be corrected by only lowering interest rates and lowering the U.S. dollar. It will have to be corrected by a slowdown in consumption and a slowdown and a slowdown in investment. And that's what is not very understood or not widely discussed nowadays, that these imbalances cannot cure easily and quickly themselves. It will take time, and that's why I predict two years, but maybe 3 years of slow growth in the U.S. and probably slow growth also in countries like Canada, because we know that Canada exports 85% of its exports toward the United States. This will have a negative impact on Canada, but also on Europe and Asia also.
Rodrigo, there's the whole question of speculative trade, which has been the object of a lot of discussion. I remember going back to the 1981 stock market meltdown, and then the subsequent meltdown in 86, that essentially there's no real regulatory mechanisms in the United States or even around the world to regulate the spiraling transactions in hedge funds, derivatives, option trade, and so on. How do you view this question? Is it a source of instability? Is it something that should be regulated by the U.S. Treasury?
Well, this is the other shoe that has to fall now. The initial crisis is a banking crisis in the subprime mortgage area, but it includes also students' loans and credit card loans and many other type of loans, but it's all related to banks. So far, the hedge funds have not fared too badly, even if a few of them have failed, but hedge funds are speculative institutions. They borrow short and they invest long through leverage means, and they may be squeezed in the coming months by the credit crunch, which is getting more and more worldwide. And the derivative market, which is somewhat supervised by the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, national central bank really has a control over the derivative markets. It's a huge, huge, huge market. You know, we are talking in trillions and trillions of dollars.
But that's precisely it. I mean, because it's so large and because it's not subject to regulation, it could ultimately lead to to default by some major financial institutions, and in fact we've seen the situation with Merrill Lynch recently, the situation with Citigroup. I mean, and ultimately the hedge funds could spearhead an instability within what is understood as the areas of commercial and merchant banking.
That's a clear danger in the coming months. As you remember, if you are a student of history, in September 1931, there was a bank in Europe located in Austria, the Kreditanstalt Bank, which failed.
And yes, I remember that.
That triggered a lot of financial credit contraction in London and in other financial system, because all these banks were interconnected. We have the same problem now with the derivative markets around the world. It's a maze of connections between different institutions. And when one fails, it reverberates to other institutions. And that's the danger of an implosion of that huge, huge market. Of course, there are some part of that markets which are very stable, the option market, the futures market, but there are a lot of swaps, for example, between banks, and these interbanks transactions could come to an halt, creating even more credit crunch than the one we have today.
We will be back after the break with Professor Rodrigue Tremblay discussing the unfolding events in the U.S. economy and around the world.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back on the Global Research News Hour. I should remind our listeners, this is hour one. In fact, it's 2 hours of Global Research News coming to you from Montreal. Our website is www.globalresearch.ca. We have on the website coverage of the news, things that you won't read about in the newspapers, in-depth reporting, analysis, and we are joined by Professor Roderick Tremblay in this discussion of the U.S. Economic crisis. Professor Tremblay is also a frequent contributor to Global Research. Welcome back, Roderick.
Yeah, very good. And Global Research is one of the leading information sites in the world about geopolitics, economics, and things like that. And I'm very happy to contribute to some articles to your site. As a matter of fact, next Monday I'm going to have an article explaining the roots of the causes, root causes of the current financial solvency crisis. And I hope people can find it on the Global Research site. It will be, of course, on my own site, the newamericanempire.com/blog. Side, but it will hopefully be on Global Research also.
Rodrigue, how do you view, we've discussed various dimensions of this crisis. And I think one dimension which is hitting people hard as far as the their purse is concerned is the rising price of gasoline, and the fact that that oil prices have gone up dramatically in the last few years. And this in turn also affects businesses across the land, because ultimately it's the cost of energy and so on. How do you view it? Is it also a is it a factor of concern to Americans? It's eating into their purchasing power, and it's also of course affecting costs of production in businesses across the land.
Well, from an American point of view, the high price of oil is a sort of a double whammy question, because, of course, the price of oil internationally is going up because there is a strong world demand for oil, because economic growth has been going so fast in India and China, for example. These countries, these huge economies, have been growing by 10 or 11% for many years now. And the people there are buying cars, and, of course, economic growth requires a lot of energy. And while the supply of oil is very limited, it can increase a little bit. It will increase for a few years more, but we predict there will be a peak sometimes between 2010 and 2020, which may push the price of oil internationally even higher. But for Americans, the fact that the U.S. dollar has been declining makes it even worse for the domestic price of oil. Now we have a price of oil at the pump, which is more than $3 a gallon. And this is hurting the consumers, of course, and it's hurting the consumers indirectly also, because everything we buy has to be transported. So you see the price of goods in stores going up, mainly because the cost of transportation has been going up. And this will reduce the purchasing power of American consumers and contribute to that slowdown in the economy that we see and that I predict will go on for a few more years.
You have in recent years been analyzing the broader picture, not strictly the economic aspects, but also the whole issue of the what you call the new American empire. I refer our listeners to Professor Tremblay's book, which is entitled "The New American Empire: Causes and Consequences for the U.S. and for the world." You can find it at his website at thenewamericanempire.com, and you can also order it from Amazon. Now, how does this understanding of the new American empire relate to the economic situation? Because
well,
we're dealing with the
book,
Bush fund.
Yeah. My book refers to the increased tensions that we notice in the world for control of energy resources and natural resources in general. I mentioned the fast rate of growth in Asia and a slow increase in demand in supply, and therefore this brings more tension. And in my book, The New American Empire, which has been translated into French and has just been translated into Turkish, I outline that fear of conflicts, future conflicts around energy resources and natural resources. And in my book, The New American Empire, I outline the geopolitical factors or causes behind the Iraq war. Mind you, the United States at the beginning was not too much involved in Iraq. After September 11, we knew that 15 of the 19 terrorists who attacked the United States came from Saudi Arabia, and four came from Pakistan, none came from Iraq. But because Iraq is the second, has the second largest oil reserves and gas reserves in the world, it was thought that this will be important for the United States to control that basin of resources, and at the same time, of course, fight Islamic terrorism.
But in fact, this is
part of the picture.
Yeah, but the fight against Islamic terrorists is really the justification, because that region encompasses something like 60% of the global oil and gas reserves, which is about 30 times those of the United States of America. I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, the Emirates, up to the Caspian Sea basin. So do you think that this war is essentially to conquer the oil resources of the Middle East?
Well, you're right to point out that this is a huge reservoir of resources. It's not a reservoir which is infinite. There are limits to the production of oil in that part of the world. But this is a part of the world which is not politically very stable. We see that in Pakistan. Of course, Pakistan does not have much oil, but we see it in Afghanistan, and we see it around the countries around the Caspian Sea. This is a very dangerous area, in a sense, for the world economy to have so much of its energy resources coming from that part of the world. Of course, there are other countries that produce stable energy resources. For example, Canada has a lot of oil sand deposits that can generate a lot of oil, but of course it's very polluting to extract this oil, and it's very costly. But if the price of oil goes above $100 and maybe reach $200 a barrel, then Canada would become one of the largest producer of oil in the world. That may reduce somewhat the reliance on the unstable Middle East. But the conflict around resources is there. And China, Russia, Europe, all these big political entities want to secure their supply of oils and energy resources, and that creates a conflict. At the same time, that international law and international institutions like the United Nations have less of an influence on regulating international relations, and that's the danger for the next few decades, in a sense.
But in that regard, is it not true that we're in a period of history where these wars, in fact, the United States has entered into a war, and this war is in fact an illegal war, because it doesn't have it doesn't have a legal justification. We've seen the issue of weapons of mass destruction and so on, that in effect the war was waged essentially to control these oil reserves. I mean, there are various other justifications. How do you view that?
Well, I outlined that in my book. Of course, this is a war which was not condoned by the United Nations Security Council. It was launched using an old resolution of the 1990 UN proposal or resolution for kicking Iraq out of Kuwait, but there was no explicit authorization. So the world is in a sort of a political or geopolitical state of anarchy nowadays that resembles quite a bit what existed before 1914. And if you know famous historian Arnold Toynbee, cycle of that type of war, Toynbee had a cycle of 100 years of these period of anarchy and international wars of aggression for colonies. At that time, we used to call them colonies, and we are reliving that type of state of anarchy that we had before the First World War in 1914. And that makes me very worried for the next 10 or 20 years. If we don't have an international political leadership either coming from the United States, from or Europe, or from other places, the world may be in a state of flux, instability, and this will hurt the economy, this will hurt employment, this will hurt the standard of living. This is a very dangerous situation that we have been entering after September 11.
But in fact, what you're pointing at in a very polite way is the neoconservative agenda of the Bush administration and the lack of leadership which currently prevails. The fact that, but do you think that if a Democratic administration enters, that these tendencies will be reversed, particularly with regard to the war in Iraq, and also, of course, the management of the financial system in the United States?
Well, I'm not that sure or confident about that. In 1945, of course, after World War II, the Democrats, Democratic administration of first Roosevelt and then Truman, was very much involved in creating an international framework for establishing peace and international law, and this was backed by the U.S. population. Nowadays, even if I listen to the presidential candidates, I hear very little about this international problem. It seems that it doesn't exist. It seems that the American people have not been called to reflect upon that. And therefore, I don't see any proposal to get out of the mess that we are internationally now, excepting enlarging NATO and use NATO as a substitute for the United Nations. But there again, that's a state of transition, a bit like from the dollar to the euro. Now, if we move from the United Nations to NATO, of course, NATO doesn't have the legitimacy that the United Nations has. So, therefore, this will create uncertainty and instability in the world. So, it's not a solution.
But that's what's really happening now. I mean, we look at what's going on in Kosovo at this very moment, where the United Nations mission, which has been there for the last since 1999, is going to be taken over by a mission of the European Union, but with NATO support. But in effect, where NATO is a military alliance, it's not a civilian intergovernmental arrangement like the United Nations, which has a consensus at the level of the community of nations. So it is. I think that this is also a very dangerous development, where the NATO would take over functions which were previously held
by the
UN.
You're pretty right to point that out. It's not only in Kosovo, it's in Afghanistan also.
Absolutely.
And it's in Iraq also. So it's a trend. It's a trend. And mind you, NATO was created as a defensive alliance against the Soviet Union. Now it is being turned without hardly any debate in most of the countries, including the U.S., but that includes Canada. We are transforming NATO from a defensive alliance into an offensive alliance, which will be sort of the military arm of the American foreign policy. And this is really back 100 years before the League of Nations, in a sense. And I only see trouble with that path of behavior. If we go even further in that direction, we will have a more unstable world, a more dangerous world, and this will be reflected in the economy, and this will slow down economic progress.
So what would be your policy solutions? I should remind our listeners that Professor Tremblay was a cabinet minister in the government of Quebec, involved in trade and commerce. He was a minister of trade and commerce. What would be your solutions, both in terms of political solutions within the United States, but also as far as managing the U.S. economy is concerned?
Well, as you know, a few weeks ago I wrote an article on my site about the United Nations, how the new Secretary General, Mr. Ki-moon, should be more aggressive in reforming the United Nations. Somebody has got to take the initiative. Unfortunately, Mr. Kim Moon, who is a former Korean diplomat, doesn't seem to have the legitimacy or the knowledge or recognition to really go forward with basic reforms, and he should ally himself with the government of the United States, of course, and the governments of the major nations. So in that article, I outlined five or six basic reforms that must be done in the next 10 years if we don't want to fall back to the pre-1914 chaos that the world was in, and we suffer very much because of that chaos. We had two world wars and lost millions of people.
We'll be back after the break with Professor Rodrigue Tremblay.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
We're back on the air on the Global Research News Hour with Professor Rodrigue Tremblay. This program comes to you from Global Research, www.globalresearch.ca. We are talking to Professor Rodrigue Tremblay on the crisis in the U.S. economy and more broadly the crisis of the world economic order. Welcome back, Professor Tremblay.
Very good.
How do you... We were discussing the issue of solutions. What kind of economic policy would you recommend in the current context in the United States?
Well, to make a link with what we were just discussing, you have to remember that in 2000, during the presidential election of 2000 in the U.S., the Republicans, which turned out to be the Bush-Cheney administration, were saying that they were not interested in policies of nation building. But it's ironic that they ended up embracing a policy of empire building, and this was done for the first time in history on borrowed money. And this is a big chunk of the problem. When you go so much, so deep in debt, this creates a lot of problems. So therefore, the first solution will be to rein in this excessive debt. And everybody knows that in the coming decades, this is the case in the U.S., but it is a case elsewhere, because the population is getting older and older because of the retirement of the baby boomers, there will be problems for Social Security programs. It will be difficult to finance that. But if we start facing these difficulties with huge mountains of debt, it will just sweep the problem, make it even bigger. So that's first order of business, of course, after the current recession, because during a recession, a government should not lower its expenditures, because that will make it worse, as the Hoover administration learned in 1929. But after this recession, the problem of fiscal imbalance has to be faced front on. And then there's a question of savings, which is related to that. The U.S. With a negative savings rate, as it has been the case for the last few years, cannot go on this way. People will have to learn how to save for the future, that there is a future, and the future comes, whether we like it or not. And when we are not prepared, then we suffer the consequences. I think this is the biggest challenge that I see in the coming years, and that involves the American government more than anything else.
Well, we're getting to the end of the first hour of this program. I thank Professor Rodrigue Tremblay for this very incisive understanding of economic issues in the United States. And stay in for hour two of the Global Research News Hour. Our guest will be Professor Marjorie Cohen of the Thomas Jefferson Law School in San Diego, California.